other side of midnight.
77 WNBC.
Local Spotlight.
Good morrow, everyone. This is The Other Side of Midnight on 77 WABC. I'm superstar Frank Morano. The director of Mayor Eric Adams' Hate Crimes Prevention Unit was fired from his post last week without being given a reason for his dismissal. And now he's planning to take legal action claiming discrimination. That's at least what the New York Daily News is reporting. A very, very interesting case. And it all centers around Hassan Naveed, who's worked as executive director of the Office for the Prevention of Hate Crimes since October of 2022. And he announced last Wednesday on his LinkedIn page that he officially left the leadership post. 2 days later, he tells the Daily News he believes his dismissal is tied to the fact that he's Muslim. And he's hired a lawyer and intends to file a claim. Quote, "I've never had this level of disrespect of being sidelined like this. What I feel is that I have definitely been fired because I am Muslim. I've done everything right in my career, and then this happens." This is total nonsense. The guy is really saying that he was fired because he was Muslim? Now, maybe there's evidence of this. Maybe some City Hall staffer said to him, you know, this praying to the East is not going to fly in City Hall. I don't mean to laugh, but it's absurd. Is he also going to credit the fact that he was Muslim with the fact that he was hired in the first place? How does he justify the fact that he was hired and kept there for a couple of years before being fired, but he's able to say that his firing is due to the fact that he's Muslim? To me, this is total nonsense. This is the definition of a guy playing the race card, or in this case, the religion card. How about you provide a little evidence before you call the people that fired you anti-Muslim? The bottom line is that this position is a position that serves at the pleasure of the mayor. Now, the mayor is not allowed to fire people because he's prejudiced, but the mayor can use, within reason, any other reason that he wants to. So how about you, if you're doing such a great job and you've done everything right in your career, go out and find another job rather than claim discrimination when, so far, there's no evidence of any discrimination. I'm no great defender of Mayor Eric Adams, but if there's one thing I don't think he is, it's anti-Muslim, especially when he hired this guy in the first place.
Beam me up!
To be continued.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Other Side of Midnight.
77 WNBC.
Local Spotlight.
Good morrow, everybody. This is The Other Side of Midnight on 77 WABC. I'm superstar Frank Morano. Well, this is interesting, and you know how closely I enjoy following New York State and New York City politics. One of the most competitive state assembly districts in the entire state, because let's face it, most of the assembly districts in the whole state are uncompetitive and gerrymandered for one party or another. But one of the most competitive is in Brooklyn, and it's a seat that genuinely the Republicans could win or the Democrats could win. And one of the most competitive seats this year is going to be uncontested in the general election. You remember all the drama 2 years ago when Lester Chang beat 36-year incumbent Democrat Peter Abadi in a very tight race, and then they claimed that Lester Chang actually didn't live in his district? Well, there were court proceedings, they were trying to get Albany involved and the assembly involved, they were trying to get the assembly not to seat him. Ultimately, they decided to seat him, and Lester Chang has been in the assembly ever since. Well, the guy that he beat, Peter Abadi, announced this year that he was running for re-election. And he was going to be a very competitive candidate. After all, the guy was in this very seat for almost 40 years. And now he's off the ballot. He didn't get enough valid signatures. So now Lester Chang is going to run. I mean, there's still time for people to run as a third party candidate in this race. But Lester Chang is going to run unopposed by any Democrat in what has been for almost half a century a Democratic seat, which is wild and incredible to think about. Now, I like competitive elections, and I think it's a shame whenever there's any uncompetitive elections. I do like more Republicans from New York City and Albany because I feel like it'll give New York City a little bit more of a say in the state GOP and vice versa. But we can put that discussion aside for now. What's interesting here is the allegations that Abadi is making to the New York Post. He is claiming that his own party leader, Rodnish Bishot Hermelin, worked with Republicans to mess up with his campaign and alert the Republicans that he didn't have enough valid signatures. Now, as much as I'd like to see a competitive election here, Peter Abadi's been around the block enough times to know that this happens constantly. The major party leaders work with each other all the time, but they work together, especially if you have a chairperson that's also an assembly person, on issues related to Albany. This just comes with the territory. And if you've been in office for 36 years and you can't get 500 valid signatures,
beam me up!
Maybe you shouldn't be on the ballot. To be continued.
The Other Side of Midnight.
77 WNBC.
Local Spotlight.
I'm sure you're familiar with Ellen's Stardust Diner in Times Square. You've probably been there. If not, I'm sure that you have passed it 100 times. Did you ever learn who Ellen from Ellen's Stardust Diner was? I have to confess, I never knew it until this weekend, or if I did know it, I had forgotten about it. Ellen is Ellen Hart Sturm, who was Miss Subways in March of 1959. And she arranged to have a reunion of all of the Miss Subways, now in their 80s, they're having this reunion at Ellen's Stardust Diner. If you don't remember the Miss Subways contest, because I really don't, these stunning strap hanger beauties would apply for this bi-monthly contest, which ran from 1941 to 1976 by sending in their photo. By the way, these women are now in their 80s. These women still look amazing. These women look gorgeous. So three of the winners, now in their 80s, recalled how they became local celebrities after their pictures appeared on 14,000 train placards for 6 million daily commuters to admire. Here is one of the Miss Subways, Mary, from 2013. She was a Miss Subway back in 1968. Actually, this is Maureen Walsh.
It's a part of New York history that shouldn't be forgotten. Not just because I was part of it, but because of what it represented. I mean, look at the years that it spanned. And it did bring, people were very proud of their city, and this was a way of showing appreciation.
I have to tell you, I think that's nice. I think everything she says is right on the money. I think it did instill a pride in New York City and a pride in the subways. And look, maybe I'm crazy for even suggesting this, but I know this will never happen, at least not something sanctioned by the MTA or New York City Transit. But what about bringing them back? What about bringing back the idea of Miss Subway? Even if it has to be done by a media organization or some other entity. I mean, maybe it's not the best thing in the world to objectify women, but these are beautiful women that appreciated the opportunity to be seen by hundreds of thousands of New Yorkers. And I think there is something to be said for instilling a sense of pride in both New York City and the subways. I know it's been 50 years almost. What about bringing them back?
Beam me up!
To be continued.
The Other Side of Midnight.
77 WNBC.
Local Spotlight.
Just about 24 hours ago, I brought to your attention the story of Sandra Dourley, the top prosecutor in Rochester and its suburbs, who was caught on police body camera footage evading a traffic stop and giving the officer a real attitude. And she issued a bit of an apology yesterday to the public. Here's some of her apology from the video.
Last Monday, I failed you and the standards that I hold myself to. And for that, I am so sorry. What I did was wrong, no excuses. I take full responsibility for my actions. I fell short of the values I've held for my entire 33-year career. I didn't treat this officer with the respect that he deserved. All police officers deserve respect. I am truly and sincerely sorry.
Now it will fall to Albany, and specifically the governor, to decide what happens next, in part through this newly founded and longtime struggling Commission on Prosecutorial Conduct to decide the fate of the Republican. Elected officials, they are calling for a host of investigations into her conduct, but most of them have stopped just short of calling on Dourley to step down. She hasn't budged, and local Republican officials have so far stood by her. So far, there's really only one person in the state who can force her out of office, and that's Governor Kathy Hochul, a Democrat, who called on the commission to investigate last week's incident. So the commission's proposed rules show that any review conducted by the committee would be handed back to the governor. The commission itself has dealt with legal fights from DAs who felt it was an overreach since it was established just a few years ago, and it only recently got up and running. The state's constitution also grants the governor the authority to remove local officials from office, including sheriffs, clerks, mayors, and DAs, but governors have not really exercised that power in about 100 years. So removal used to be a very common thing in the 1800s, but the last time a district attorney was removed in New York State was in 1900 by Governor Theodore Roosevelt. If you didn't hear what I said about this case yesterday, this was really bizarre. And we really need to know what Dourley was doing when she entered her home after pulling into her garage. What exactly was she covering up? Because in the police video, Dourley refuses to pull over after going 55 miles per hour in a 35 mile per hour road near her home. Instead, she drove half a mile to her home with the police in pursuit, pulled into her garage, and at one point left the officer in the garage and entered her house. She also phoned the local chief of police and invoked her title as the DA to the officer as she attempted to get out of the ticket. Ultimately, she tells the officer to just write me the effing ticket. Dourley has said she also wants to see investigations into her own conduct and will appoint a DA from another county to investigate her. Oh, she's going to pick her own prosecutor. Boy, those of you that have been to prison, those of you that have been investigated, I am sure you would have loved the opportunity to pick your own prosecutor. It's a luxury not everyone gets. We'll see where this goes, but I don't think it's going anywhere.
Beam me up!
To be continued.